How about let's start 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father. Ye do which that ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, listen to this. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. How about that for a statement? Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why ye do not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Jesus said, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and you did dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Wow. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many blessings we have. We thank you especially for the word of God. Give us some light, some understanding, some encouragement. And we will give praise to you and honor you and thank you for so great a salvation that we have to offer. Thank you, Lord, for everything up to now. And we praise your name and look forward to your glory in the future. Bless us. Keep us on the right path. Help us to be quick to repent and help us to learn to love our brother and our sister and all the brethren. I ask you, Lord, that you would bless this meeting all day today, that we would be in your presence and we'll enjoy your pleasure and your joy and rejoice in the truth that you've taught us. Thank you, Lord, for everything. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Son, verse 36, therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Praise God. Have you been given eternal salvation? Has Jesus Christ paid your debt before the counsel of God? Well, praise God, you've got something to shout about, don't you? Got something to be happy about every day. Some of my friends in here this morning, we were talking about the old days. I was talking about being born in the middle of the Depression, 1936. And I knew my mother and father were poor. They'd just been broke, everything gone. And here they have a child coming to them, 1936. I was sure that they did not look forward to having to have another child in the family. And yet I had parents that loved me. That's wonderful. You know, they love me. Now, how many kids out there today have somebody that doesn't love them? There are lots of them. There are lots of them that have parents that don't love them. Praise God that you have been loved. Praise God that you have heard the gospel. Praise God, you have the Word of God in your hands. You can read it. You don't have to listen to people's lies. You can check them out. If you're not too lazy to read, you got the Word. Didn't get any amens on that. But it's truth anyway. All right. I think that I stopped about verse 39 four or five months ago. Look at verse 39. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. You know, you can tell kids what family they came from because they a lot of characteristics that family they have. You are basically your parents on down the line. They've taught you what was right and wrong. They've taught you what was good and bad, what was polite and impolite. They've taught you the way they wanted you to act in your own family, and sometimes they spanked you. And by the way, that is a very good way to train a young child. Not beating, spanking. My wife had another way whenever I read about it in a letter Susanna wrote to Verlene before she died. And she said Mama had a real bad pinch, you know. She didn't spank you in church when you were messing around. She pinched you good. Something to get your attention. Well, praise the Lord. Abraham's children? Well, that's exactly what they were claiming. And they were claiming that he was not of God because he didn't keep the Sabbath day. Can you imagine the little things? Somebody getting eyesight. Somebody that's a cripple being able to walk. Dead people raised to life again, and you're worried about walking too many steps on the Sabbath day? You're worried about going through a grain of field and just pulling some grain off and eating it raw? Oh no, that's harvesting. The hypocrisy of a lot of religion does not show so much to the people that are in it. But looking on the outside, looking from the freedom of the gospel as it is taught in the Word of God, that God gave a gift. You don't earn it and you can never pay it back. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you go to heaven, you go because of His gift. And He offers it. That's what my job is. Preach the Word. Tell people about the gift of God. Amen. He gave it to me. I was of the opinion that good little boys went to heaven and bad little boys went to hell. But then I realized we're all bad little boys. It's a gift. It's a gift. Nothing you to be proud of. You can't stick your chest out and say, I'm better than. If I were an old drunk or if I were a prostitute or if I were a murderer or something like that. No. No, you got about as much chance as them without God giving you something. Why don't you humble yourself and say, thank you, Lord. And why don't you walk every day as if you'd received a gift? Anybody ever give you a big gift? I mean a big gift? Praise God. Man, you ought to be thankful for that. Anyway, if you were Abraham's children, they're claiming to be Abraham's children, and yet what are they doing? They are rejecting the Messiah. They're rejecting their Savior. And without Him, you don't have a Savior. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think. I don't care. It's the gift of God. And knowing that is a tremendous, tremendous truth. Your works and your life are a testimony to your father and mother. Now, you may have had to live down some things from your father and mother. You might not have had a good one. I happen to have had a good father and a good mother. And I ended up having a good wife and a good life and good kids. I praise the Lord for it. I thank the Lord for it. But you know something? You reflect your parents. And people can see your parents in you. Because they have passed some things along to you. Not just physical genes. Not just blonde hair, black hair, brown eyes, blue eyes. But an attitude. What do you think is polite? What do you think is respectful. Are you trying to beat everybody out of everything you can, or are you or somebody that would be like supposedly Abraham Lincoln, walk 5 or 10 miles to give back a coin that was mistaken? Amazing. Here's some stories. Praise the Lord. If ye were Abraham's children, well, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, what do your works testify to your parents? Who do you belong to? Can they recognize some traits of your parents in you? Evidently, Jesus said, if you were the children of Abraham, it'd show. You'd do his works. And I tell you what, get over in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, and he tells you that if you are of faith, if you believe the Lord, you're children of Abraham. And by the way, that's the biggest way he has the most children. Now, Abraham had a lot of children, didn't it? He didn't have Isaac. He had Ishmael. And then the Bible says he had a bunch of concubines. And so he had a lot of children. Now, what did he do with those children? When they grew up, he gave them a piece of land and sent them off to a certain place. Kept them away from Isaac because he was going to have the inheritance in Isaac. Children of Abraham, by far the best way to be a child of Abraham is through faith. Abraham believed God. And the Bible says they preached the gospel to Abraham. Wow. I don't understand all of that, but man, it's a beautiful thought. You do the deeds of your father. Then said to him, we be not born of fornication. You have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. How about that for a test today? Do you love Jesus? Do you reject Jesus? Then you're not of the Father. Because if you were of the Father, you would love Jesus. He said, I came forth from God. You cannot receive my word. Evil men understand not judgment. This is what Proverbs 28:5 says. Even men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now look at verse 44. He emphasizes it again, and this way in the negative. Ye are of your father the devil. How about that? Now Jesus was not mealy-mouthed. He didn't worry about hurting people's feelings. He told the truth. And you look at him in his dealing with people, and wow, sometimes he's very strong. Here it is, very simple thing. Ye are of your father the devil. Now you may be not saved, and you'd say, I'm not of the devil. Well, what did Jesus say? You're going to be either the devil or are you going to be of God? Wow. Those are some strong statements. And if you take them, what the implications are of the truth of that, good night. Yeah, I think I was a son of the devil a long time before I got saved. Praise God when I got saved. I had to change some things in my life. Because I had not been saved and I wasn't living like a saved person. Well, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now, how was he a murderer? Well, when he got Eve to sin and then Eve got Adam to sin, all mankind die. You inherited what from Adam? Death. You inherited death because of sin. Wow, that's sort of a bad gift. You know, you go to the funeral parlor and it is a place of mourning. Very definitely. I don't care even if your parents weren't too good. Many times when they die, you're going to shed some tears. You're going to worry about them. You're going to, feel disappointed and sorrow. What a tragic thing death is. And yet sometimes it is a mercy. Verlene was in such pain for 3 years that her death was a mercy. mercy to her and to everybody around her, though we didn't see that as we missed her. But yes, I acknowledge that, that it was a mercy for her and for everybody that, that cared for her. So sometimes when it depends on where you go, but death itself is a very sorrowful, sad thing. You got all this life in you. Your eyes just love to see. All of you carrying cameras around. I used to be just a camera freak, but that was before telephones could be cameras and better cameras than the cameras. That's the way they are today. That's super. And all of you got, I had a guy one time, he was a mechanic, and he was showing me his kids. It took a half an hour. I mean, that thing was loaded with picture after picture after picture after picture after picture. I finally got tired of looking at his kids. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Isn't that the way we blame it? Sin. Why would it be right for you to go beat up some old man or woman for $20 or $100 when you're young and strong and unselfish? Selfish. Somebody gets hurt real bad, and it's happening every day, and that's what's news. Take a look at the TV. Listen to the radio. Somebody is doing somebody in. So they shoot them. They run over them with cars. I cannot imagine a person thinking that he should run his car into a bunch of children and kill them. Boy, that's a bad testimony. Well, he said he was a liar. In verse 44, the last part of that verse, for he is a liar and the father of it. When you tell a lie, you're showing your background in Satan. When you are a liar and people cannot trust your word, they fire people like that. Guy tell you I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock and he doesn't show up. Well, why'd I get fired? Well, you dummy, you didn't show up for work. He's a liar and the father of it. Man. He said in John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with my father. Ye do that which you have seen with your father. Jesus made it so clear in this 8th chapter of John, you're in one family or the other. You're either in God's family or you're in the devil's family. Either God is your father or the devil is your father. And he told you exactly how to know it. What you do, what you see, what you believe. He's a liar and the father of it. John 3:19-20 says, and this is the condemnation. There is a condemnation here. That light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. How do you respond to truth? How do you respond to the Word of God? How do you respond to Jesus Christ? How do you respond to the servants of Jesus Christ? How do you respond to the invitation that's given you? Forgiveness for your sins, eternal life, salvation, how do you respond? Well, if you reject it and reject it and reject it, you're not of God. It looks like it's making it very, very clear. Anyway, we'll go back to verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. How plain can it be? Jesus is a plain speaking preacher. He was an evangelist. He was not a pastor. He did not pastor one local congregation over the period of his life or a number of years of his life. He traveled from city to city to city, and he might be there for several weeks or months or whatever, or he might be there just for a day. He was an evangelist. He preached the same message in many different places. You come with an evangelist, we're going to have some evangelists coming here this year. I'll start to say this next year. No, we're already in 22. I hope it's a better year than 20 and 21. Yeah, at any rate. These evangelists that come, and they preach a message, maybe it touches your heart, and you think, boy, that's really good, and boy, they thought that out well. You're not the first people to hear it. You understand? I carried about 100 outlines with me when I was a full-time evangelist, and I went back and forth through them, but I had one poor family that just loved me. Bless their hearts, they were so ignorant they loved me. They followed me every revival meeting I held. Well, there was one year that I held about 5 revivals in San Antonio when they would call me for a revival meeting, and I'd been gone 3 weeks, and I was going to have a week at home. And they'd say, well, you're going to be home for this week. So the week at home, I was preaching a revival in San Antonio, you know. Well, bless their hearts, they followed me 3 times on the same message. I felt sorry for them, you know, bless their heart. But it was a good message. At any rate, that's what happens. These evangelists preach the same messages, and Jesus preached the same message town after town after town. That's why sometimes you can have an incident in the Bible where Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John have... John doesn't have a whole lot of it's in the others. That's why I believe it was written last. I believe that they had Matthew and Mark and Luke early on, and then John in his old age, and when he wrote the book of Revelation, he might have written the Gospel of John at the same time. At any rate, he had their stories, and what he has is more the last week or two of Jesus' life. And then a bunch of the messages of the Lord that have to do with salvation. And he tells you at the end of the book, I wrote this to you so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe and you have life in his name. It's an evangelistic book. Okay. Which of you convinces me of sin? They tried. They badmouthed him. But they never got it accomplished. And then he said, he that is of God, verse 47, heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now, I don't know how much plainer you can make it than what Jesus has made it in this 8th chapter here. You're of God or you're not of God. And if you don't follow Jesus, if you don't recognize Jesus, if you don't accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you're not of God. You may be a very nice person, a sweet person, a kind person, a tender person. But if you don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, bless your heart, it's all for nothing. You're going to end up away from God. You're not a son of Abraham, you're a son of the devil. Verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Woo! My daddy was in the hospital, dying. And I stepped in. He was in a smaller room. And we were just outside in the hall, the family. And I stepped in, and he was clear-minded, clear-head. He said, keep preaching, boy. Keep preaching, boy. I said, yes, sir, I will. And I stepped out to speak to my mother for her to go in. And I stepped back in. He was gone. So I told him, I said, cut the machines. He's already passed away. You know something? I'm still preaching. My daddy was really scared for me when I first surrendered to preach. He had sort of a wild young man that he was trying to put a 40-year-old head on. He told me several times, it's really hard to put a 40-year-old head on a 17-year-old body. But that was his purpose. His purpose was to grow me up. His purpose was to make me think. And to think like an adult, not like a 17-year-old. At any rate, that helped me a whole lot in my life. I had a good father. Now, some of you didn't have a good father, and I'm sorry for that. But bless your heart, that's a worthwhile thing to do. You got children? Spend some time with them. You got children, they're not for grandma to raise. You got children, you shouldn't have three jobs. You got children, you need to spend time with them. They need to know how you think. They need to know what you approve of. They need to know how much you love them, how much your life is wrapped up in them. You need to spend time with them. And if you don't, you're going to suffer and your children are going to suffer. Maybe your grandchildren are going to suffer. Preach the gospel to them. May the word, have the word of God prominent in your house. Go to church on a regular basis. And if you can't find a good church, drive a few miles to get to one. I had a man call me out of Pennsylvania, I think. His brother had been down here. I'd never met this man. This was his brother. His brother had been. He'd come to the church, our little church back up here, up Oak Knoll. And he was complaining that where I live, there's just no fundamental church. And so I said, well, where is it? Well, there is a fundamental church, but it's three towns over. I said, well, if it's a good fundamental church, it might be worth driving three towns. Yes, sir. I said, by the way, how far in mileage is it? He said, 21 miles. I said, on Thursday, I put over 100 miles on my car visiting people that had come to the church and went from 7 to 10, didn't catch anybody home. I visited 10 houses and knocked on 10 doors and didn't get a one. And I don't complain of gasoline and mileage. What are you thinking about? If there's a fundamental church in 21 miles of you, I don't care if you got a bunch of little towns in Pennsylvania. Drive through them. Go someplace where you can find the truth. But you can find somebody that stands up for the truth. Amen or oh me? You shall never see death. Well, literally, you're going to see death. But spiritually, you, the inside of you, that personality that's in you, no, what you're going to do is just open up into the presence of God. All of that stuff at the funeral parlor and the gravesite and all that, that's all the after effects. That has nothing to do with it. You will step into the presence of God. Jesus said, I will come again that I may receive you under myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I hope one of these days I just go to bed, oh, so tired, about midnight, and I lay down and I wake up and say, hello, Lord. Didn't miss a day. Didn't lose out on an hour. The gospel's beautiful. There's nothing quite like it. Okay, look at verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Now, how about that for a statement? Art thou greater than our father Abraham? To the Jew, Abraham was their father. Abraham was the one that really sought God. God sought him. Abraham was known as the friend of God. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? He's dead. Wow. Whom makest thou thyself? Whom makest thou thyself? Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Verse 53 says, art thou greater than our father Abraham? But Matthew 12:6 says, in this place is one greater than the temple. Matthew 12:41, a greater than Jonas is here. Matthew 12:42, a greater than Solomon is here. Have you got it? Who's greater? Nobody greater than Jesus Christ. God Almighty revealed himself to Abraham, probably as Jehovah. He revealed himself to Moses as I am. Who sent me? Who sent me? Tell him I am. What does that have to do? Well, in the book of John, you got about 7 or 8 I ams. I am the bread of life. I am 7 times. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's quite a few in there. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Have you got it? Jesus is greater than Abraham. Your father Abraham, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, I don't know how much implication you can get from that little verse there, but it's there. Think about it just a minute or two. Wow. Jesus is claiming himself Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. I wondered a lot of times, what I don't know what Abraham saw. I'm not sure about who preached to him. Was it his father, his grandfather? Looks like in 1 or 2 verses in the scripture that they were believers, that Abraham is serving their God. And so I'm not sure exactly what it is, but wow. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, like the gospel was preached to Abraham. He understood. Now, David looks like he's understanding some things like that too. When you look at the Psalms of David, he understands sins being forgiven and God not applying sin to certain accounts. Well, that's exactly what the gospel is. It's God giving you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're no longer a sinner. Not in the courts of heaven. You used to think, and I've heard a lot of people talk in certain ways, I'm not going to get finished this chapter. How many times have you thought about how foolish you are, how stupid you are, how selfish you are, and then think about you're saved? That's beautiful. To know that I'm saved in spite of all of that. I can walk into any prison house, take the murderers, the rapists, and tell them if you'll trust Jesus Christ, he'll forgive your sins. And he'll do it. I've known some preachers that were convicts. They went to prison for what they did. They got out, they got saved in there or whatever, and they're going around as evangelists. Well, our Mr. Spurgeon that comes here all the time, he got saved in a jail cell. Why? Because God made a way that could forgive everybody that would call upon him. And if you don't call upon him, you don't get it. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. They said, you're not 50 years old, and how has thou seen Abraham? Now here's what he said. Before Abraham, verse 58, look it, you mark it. Before Abraham was I am. God's name to Moses. Before Abraham was I am. Then took the stones up to cast on him, and Jesus himself hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I have a wonderful gospel to preach. I was a smart aleck. I spoke at the funeral of David Holmes. He was a friend of mine for over 60 years. And I described him as a smart-aleck little Yankee. And I was a smart-aleck farm boy from Texas. And we fitted out real well. But have you ever thought about the stuff that comes out of your mouth, your pride, your foolishness? Some of you are real proud of a gun you own. You're really proud. Some of you are really proud about your car. A whole lot of you are proud about your car. Some of you, I've seen people that show me their dishes, vases. And that's very important to them. I eat on paper plates, you know. That doesn't matter to me. But we're proud of a whole lot of things. You know what you ought to be humbled and proud about? That you know Jesus Christ. I look back, I'm an old man, and I think how much God has blessed me. Even that I stand here before you today, I never thought I'd reach 85. And that didn't clue me in on any way that way. 85? I'm an old man. I'm not going to be old like some of you. You're going to be old. But I am old. Good night. You don't know how much energy it takes just to walk up here. I thank God that He broke in on my life at 20 years old. I thank God that He called me to preach. I never had more fun doing anything in my life than preaching. I love it. I really don't want to shut up. But one of these days I'm going to have to. But I'm thankful that I know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's paid my debt. I didn't pay it. I can't pay it back. You can't either. Thank God that God saved your soul.
Thank you, Lord.
And give testimony to it the rest of your life. There's a lot of people out there that don't know the Lord yet. They think you're foolish. But they're the ones that are foolish. Not believe God, not take the testimony of God. That's not just religion, man. That's the Word of God. Words are, I just read to you tonight, this morning, show you that Jesus Christ paid your debt. And you're saved by faith. And that's the way Abraham was saved. And that's the way you'll be saved. Praise God.